Welcome back to Nevada Wild, and we're with one of the preeminent outdoor writers, and we're getting reacquainted because it's been 5 or 6 years since I visited with Wayne Van Zwal. We were just going over the history of your name, Wayne.
Yes, it's Dutch. Took the name of the town of Zwolle.
Okay.
So, and my mother's maiden name was De Beers, so she was Dutch as well. Unfortunately, no relation to the diamond magnates.
Well, welcome back to Reno. Right now, let's get caught up in what you've been doing and writing. Catch your articles occasionally. What exactly is Wayne doing these days?
Sure, Jerry. Well, I'm doing much the same as I was doing last time I was in Reno. And by the way, I'm glad to be back here.
Oh,
it's
good.
a wonderful town and a wonderful venue here for SCI. So I've been writing full-time. I write mainly about big game and big game hunting and rifles and cartridges and optics. I also run a small not-for-profit hunting safari for women only once a year in Namibia. We've done 13 of them now, and just to reintroduce more women to hunting.
And that's an annual?
It is.
When, if somebody wanted to find out about it, when exactly do you do it, and how does somebody say, hey, I think my wife may like to go, or maybe a woman is listening right now and would like to find out more about it?
Sure. Well, typically, we've gone as early as March, as late as November. As you know, the African hunting season is different than it is here.
Just the opposite?
Almost, yes. Yeah. I do have a website, highcountrywomen.com, all one word. It's mainly word of mouth, and we have had women from all walks of life. One of the most recent participants, Safari Sisters we call them, by their own acknowledgement, was a 777 pilot for United Airlines. We've had nurses and teachers and all sorts of backgrounds there, and ages from 27 to 67, so it's an eclectic mix, but they bond very well, and unlike many men on safari, they don't come with a big, long list of animals to shoot, and they rejoice in each other's kills as much as their own.
Maybe a little less, I was going to say testosterone, that wouldn't be appropriate, but maybe a little less ego?
Perhaps. Anyway, they're fun to be in the field with, and the professional hunters we work with feel the same.
What do you get out of it?
You know, I get a lot of satisfaction out of it. I don't hunt typically on those safaris, but I have as much fun seeing someone else enjoy hunting the way I used to do it as I do. And I still hunt, but seeing the light come on, the realization that hunting has a lot to do with conservation, that hunting funds conservation, and nowhere more demonstrably than in Africa.
What percentage, if you know or would you say, are first-time hunters?
Probably 50% of them.
Okay.
And none of them have hunted in Africa before. That was a requisite.
So you realize, especially the first-time hunters, they're really going to get spoiled.
I'm afraid so. I worked very hard for my first animals as a novice hunter, and these ladies, one came on safari a couple of years ago, and on her first day shot a tremendous kudu bull. It was the first animal she'd ever killed. And when I think of the hard hunting that I used to do in the upper Midwest in the snow and the cold, and some days seeing no deer at all, and other days maybe killing a rabbit or a squirrel, I think that is spoiled.
You know, that's the one thing about Africa still to this day, is just the abundance of game of every type, from cats to kudu to everything. Is just an experience that you should definitely do if you have an interest at some point in your life. You should put that on your list and get there and do it before you may not have the opportunity.
Oh,
so
absolutely.
You do this, and again, Wayne Van Zwal is our guest here on Nevada Wild at 99.1 FM Talk. One more time, what you do annually, and how could somebody find out more about it? Taking women to Namibia, you said?
Typically Namibia. We've gone to South Africa as well, not always to the same place, but with very good professional hunters, excellent people, and the women enjoy themselves in camp as much as they do in the field.
Okay, and if somebody wants to become a safari sister, one more time, how to get in touch with you?
Highcountrywomen.com, that's
okay.
The website.
All right. You wrote an article about the 6.5 Creedmoor, which I used for the first time this last fall on a hunt. I love that cartridge. There's no kick to speak of, and it's very accurate. It wasn't a typically long shot. It was just under 200 yards. But I do love that cartridge and round. Your opinion on that?
It's justifiably popular. It's probably the most popular big game cartridge, certainly the most popular new big game cartridge on the market. And as you say, it has light recoil, so it's easy to handle. It is designed to handle bullets that are ballistically efficient, so it's flat shooting and a good killer at distance. I've used it on quite a few game animals here and in Africa, and I have friends who have used it and swear by it. So you really can't say enough good about the 6.5 Creedmoor.
The hunting industry, 2018 was a fairly, well, and the firearms industry, 2018, recently I read something that it was a pretty tough year. 2016, a really good year. What do you think is out there that isn't built yet that might become the next 6.5 Creedmoor, for example?
Well, there are some cartridges on the horizon, some from Hornady. There's several cartridges out there coming that I think will be popular. Maybe not the hit that the 6.5 Creedmoor has been, or not as versatile. But the trend in long-range shooting will probably continue. Our scopes are getting more complex and more expensive and more powerful all the time. And I'm not sure if there's an end to that, Jerry, but I also have a fondness for older rifles and shorter shooting. I'm giving a seminar on short shooting today. Maybe the first. Everybody's talking about how far can you shoot. But there's a lot more hunting involved in getting a short shot. And some of the older rifles, the old lever-action Winchesters and Marlins and Savages that were so popular back when I was young, many of them aren't made anymore, but those that aren't in collections are being used in the field by enthusiasts like me who like to shoot with iron sights and like to sneak close. I think there may be a comeback there.
Well, it could be. Old cars make comebacks, maybe old rifles as well. Wayne Banswall, our guest. Wayne, where do you live? What's your life like besides doing your annual safari introducing women to hunting?
Well, I live in north central Washington State at the mouth of the Okanagan River, right where it meets the northern hook of the Columbia. And it used to be storied mule deer country. Mm-hmm. A lot of that winter range has been taken up by orchards now. I have a few acres myself in apples and cherries, pears. But it's beautiful country, and a little bit, away from the Seattle that most people think of when they think of Washington State.
Yeah. Well, thank goodness, too. I have a cousin in Wenatchee, just south of you there, okay. So very familiar with the country, very pretty. Mule deer not quite what they were before, or what's the...
Hard-hunted, Washington is the smallest state in the West, and it has the second-largest population, and mm-hmm. while most of them are, of course...
Seattleites.
In Seattle or around Puget Sound... they come east to hunt. Yeah. And so the deer, we have something to do with a decline in mule deer numbers across the West as hunters because we're becoming more efficient. We have rifles and cartridges that shoot farther, mm-hmm. and mule deer are open country animals. And changes in habitat that we could get into, but...
I read about a very large elk being taken out of there 4 or 5 years ago out of Eastern Washington. How's the elk population doing?
The elk herd is doing very well where there are elk. We, the Department of Wildlife in Washington, discourages elk in the Okanagan Valley because of the orchards.
Right.
Elk do a lot of damage to fences and orchards when they can. Mm-hmm. But in the Blue Mountains especially, and in the Yakima region, Kalakum.
Tri-Cities, yeah.
Yes, there are some big bulls thanks to the management of the Department of Wildlife that in Washington State, you can buy an over-the-counter tag for elk, but are limited to hunting spikes only. And you have to draw for a branch-antlered bull tag. And that has dramatically increased the number of branch-antlered bulls in our herd. Of course, it's limited the opportunity for a lot of hunters to shoot a branch-antlered bull.
Yeah.
Trade-off.
If somebody asked, Wayne, why should I become a member of SCI?
Well, it's a wonderful conservation organization, for one thing. It also speaks up for hunters in the political arena. And it is, of course, a great meeting place, the convention is.
Yep.
It's where all of the safari outfitters of any consequence worldwide, and when I say safari, I mean inclusively the people from New Zealand and from Canada and from South America, mm-hmm. who outfit hunters and make a living in the hunting industry. It's also a great place for manufacturers in our industry to showcase their wares and to meet other people. It's the biggest organization of its type in the States and worldwide, really. And I come here to meet people, people I won't see at other conventions, people from across the ocean that get to the States very infrequently. Mm-hmm. And you know, long ago, Jerry, I bought my first safari at a safari club convention.
Uh-huh.
And I didn't have very much money, and I raised my hand, and when somebody said, sold, I shook.
But the exact same thing. It's like, whoa, it looks like I'm going to Africa.
But it was a wonderful safari, and it was the first of probably, I've probably been to Africa 24 times since.
You know, and that happened to me in 2004. I still visit with the folks to Damakwa in South Africa twice, and I visit with them now, and they now have 5 children. They didn't have any when I first. So it's just a great place, as you say, for that friendship and that camaraderie with hunters. What's your opinion on what's going on with anti-hunting and death threats? The whole thing of being able to make death threats, but with no consequences.
That's a social issue, more so perhaps than it is a hunting issue. Obviously, it spills over into hunting, as you've just described. The idea that somebody can, without consequence, denigrate somebody else or make death threats, that's repulsive to those of us who grew up in a gentler time, I suppose. Mm-hmm. And so I don't like that. It's not becoming the person who's doing it, but as you pointed out, they're often anonymous.
Mm-hmm.
And so I think that we have to be very careful as a hunting community to represent ourselves well, not only as sportsmen and women, but as individuals, as human beings. If we're doing something legally that maybe some people who don't hunt don't understand, and some people don't. I understand that. I deal with people all the time who are new to hunting.
Mm-hmm.
It's our obligation, I think, to instruct them as best we can about how hunting plays into conservation and how hunters pay for conservation. They do worldwide. It's a message that SCI carries effectively, and I try to.
Very well said. Wayne Van Zwal. People can find out about what you do, the introduction to hunting for the first time for women. Where's the best place, Wayne?
Highcountrywomen.com.